You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
This week, we talked to a new investor who turned curiosity into cash flow. With two properties under his belt and a third one on the horizon, he shares what it's really like behind the scenes. Analysis, paralysis, costly lessons, and the power of community. If you're wondering how to go from zero to 12 doors in just 2 years, this is the episode for you.
Welcome to the Real Escape Investing Podcast, where we guide you to escape the constraints of time, geography, and finance through real estate. And now, here's your host, Terry Schauer.
Hey, real estate fan, and thanks for joining me today for another episode of the Real Escape Investing Podcast. We have the great pleasure today of having a good friend and fellow investor with me as a guest on the show. And what I find really cool about this guest is that he is close enough to the beginning of his journey that he's still relatable for people who really are starting out. And, you know, if that's you who are, you know, thinking, how am I going to get that first property under contract? Or how am I going to go from, you know, that triplex or that condo to start to build a little bit of a portfolio for myself, this might really be a very interesting episode for you. And so some of the highlights and things that I was able to take away from this conversation is really the power of community as a way to transition and really get started. And I think one of the things that comes through in this conversation with my investor friend, and also with a lot of people who are more towards the beginning of their journey, is this idea that doing this alone, doing this real estate investing thing alone, is really tough. And it's tough, especially at the beginning, because you kind of don't know what you don't know. And if you're at all wise, you know that what you don't know can really hurt you. And the other thing is that this means that you're going to end up relying more on those professionals that are around you. And so the role that the mortgage broker or especially the real estate broker is going to play in your decision-making process at the beginning is outsized compared to what it becomes later on in the journey. Because if I think back to, you know, my first property, my first two properties, I really had no idea what I was looking at. And I kind of got lucky at that point. But from the people that I talked to, a lot of beginning investors really aren't that lucky. And so instead of sort of trusting this process to a question of luck, where, you know, all of us have real estate brokers around us, whether it's your father-in-law, your brother-in-law, your neighbor, a colleague, a friend of the family, whoever it is. But the fact is that those brokers, those professionals, only 2% of them really are specialized in working with investors. Now, the other 98%, are they going to say no to selling you an investment property if you walk up and ask them to do it? They're not going to say no to that. And most typically, those brokers also don't know what they don't know. And so they will end up perhaps transacting some of those deals, even though it's beyond the typical scope of their practice. And if you're looking at making sound investment decisions, you don't want to be working with somebody who has maybe sold like two or three triplexes in the span of their career. You want to be working with someone who does this every single day of the week and has a huge amount of experience with it, especially when you're at that kind of fateful moment at the beginning of your career as an investor, because at that point, you're actually going to be at your most ignorant. So it's going to be more difficult for you to recognize specific tenant problems or to put together financial statements or to understand some of the construction issues that can plague rental property. And so really at that point in your journey, it's super important to have a good team of people around you. And how do you find those people? Because if you're just relying on your own personal network, the chances that you end up with one of the 98% of brokers who don't work with investors is really extremely high. And so as you will see through this conversation, that is one of the valuable things about being part of a community. Then the other thing that comes out of this conversation is really a question of being intentional. And, you know, a lot of the times when we set goals as far as what we want to do, it's very easy to get caught up in all of the things that we see on Instagram or on social media, or like, you know, a lot of these ideas of the lifestyles of the rich and famous, when in fact, if you really want to effectively work backwards from your goals, you have to spend some time at the beginning really thinking through the kind of lifestyle that you hope to have one day, and then reverse engineer that with the kind of cash flow that you're going to need to have that lifestyle be actualized, really. And, you know, it occurs to me that I went through a similar process to this when I was at the start of my investing career. That's so far in the rear view that I don't really remember it very well. But I think what you will hear from this conversation is a really impressive journey of somebody who really very quickly progressed from owning nothing to owning 12 doors, which is really for us in our metrics when you start to be considered a professional type landlord and not so much a mom and pop anymore. And to be able to go through that, you know, at the age of 25 in just 2 years is really quite incredible. So without any more preamble and introduction, please let's welcome Mike Sadelski to this show, and we will hear from him today on his journey into the world of real estate investing. All right, Mike, thanks for joining me today. I'm super excited to hear about your real estate journey and like kind of how you got started. So without going back to like when you were a year and a half old and learning how to walk, why don't you like take me back to maybe where like on the horizon, the light started rising that you wanted to be in real estate, or like, how did that happen for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think this real estate journey really started when I explored the idea of financial freedom. I was really into the idea of setting myself up for the long term, potentially retiring early. And I think the thing that really brought me to real estate was discovering that all the people who were in this financial freedom position had something to do with one way or another with real estate. So that really sort of guided me to the direction of exploring this industry in more detail. And so from there, I really just explored, you know, how to purchase property, what are the actual financial benefits of owning property, and how to do this whole thing. Because as glamorous as people make it seem online, it's a beast. And to manage this whole thing and to understand the little intricacies of real estate investing is not easy. So that's kind of how I got started in this business. And you know, it's been about 3-4 years now that I've been investing in real estate, and there's still tons more to learn. So it keeps me engaged, keeps me interested. And yeah, that's kind of how I started.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. Like the great thing about real estate is that like, no matter how much you learn, there's like always more to learn. So like the pool is super deep. But like, I want to maybe go a little bit further back, because, you know, you say that this began with like an interest in financial freedom and like setting yourself up for the long term. But why don't you go back to before that? Because like, you have a job in sales, you've studied, you've done like a lot of schooling, you've experienced the rat race, even from, you know, the young age that you are, you've had a chance to experience it. But so like, what made you kind of think that like, that's not where it's at, right? Because like a lot of people, they have that realization when they're 40. They're like, I've been working corporate for like 10, 15 years. And, you know, I can't see how this is going to translate into retiring. But like, you kind of woke up to that super early. So like, what does that look like?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think, you know, just to give a bit of context, I did my bachelor's degree in science. I have a job in the pharmaceutical industry now in sales. So I'm really, you know, in the corporate world. But I think the thing that really opened my eyes to this whole idea of financial freedom and retiring early and just setting myself up was just seeing people around me stuck in this position of, I need to work in order to live. And oftentimes we see people getting stuck in the trap where they create these lifestyles for themselves that require more money. And then in order to fund the lifestyles that require more money, I need to work more, invest more time into these things. And I personally don't want to do that. I don't want to give up my time to a job that's going to fund some extravagant lifestyle that I can barely afford. I would rather work harder in the beginning, set myself up, and then be able to afford those things much later on. So to answer your question, I think the way I kind of got into this was just seeing the reality of people around me and how, you know, they're stuck in this job and they can't afford to leave the job or to go on a 2-month trip or to spend more time with their children or all of these things that I value a lot and that I want to be doing with my time. So just seeing people around me in these situations really pushed me to think a lot harder about how I'm going to create this life for myself. And I think the most important thing is to be intentional with the things that you want. Be intentional with your money, be intentional with your time, and really create a plan of what you want your life to look like. And for me, I created this picture of what I want my life to look like. And then I worked backwards and I said, hey, look, this is what I need to do what I want to do. And I asked myself the question, how am I going to get there? And the most obvious answer at the time was through real estate.
So then tell me like a bit about like your inspiration. You know, you just like told me a little bit about maybe kind of something that you were like moving away from, because like, you know, as humans, we have this like aversion reaction of like, this is kind of not what I want, but then this is something I want. So like, where are you learning about this whole FI thing? Like Instagram? I mean, you're maybe a bit too young. You weren't 15, like following Grant Cardone or something, were you? Like what,
well, what was your inspiration? Funny that you mentioned that. I definitely was into the whole YouTube space and I still watch tons of videos now about, you know, inspirational people like Grant Cardone and others. So I think the inspiration for me is, number one, online, there's tons of people who are showing their lifestyles of what they're doing using real estate towards financial freedom. And so just like being able to see that, number one, this is actually possible. People can make this happen. And number two, like I mentioned earlier, like my goal is to like create my ideal life. The things that I'm interested in are travel, technology, and family. So those are my three priorities. And if I can like max
and the
out,
Lambo, Mike, don't forget the Lambo.
Oh, no, for sure. It's actually the Porsche, Terry.
Oh, sorry.
So that's it's already in my savings plan. I have it for my 50th birthday, so it's already set up. But absolutely, there are very few things which are very important to me that I value and I want to spend my time and my money on. So, you know, what is my inspiration? It's just being able to do the things that I love all the time, anytime. And, you know, you see people who work full-time jobs, they get to go on their vacation maybe once a year, maybe once every 2 years, and they save up their vacation time and they're able to go on this one big trip. Like, I don't want to be put in a box like that. I don't want to have to, you know, ask my boss if I can take a month off of work and then get denied because it's a busy season. I don't want that. I want to be able to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And that's been my motivation towards this whole thing, is just being able to create the ideal life for myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. So let's now really get down on the ground with this. So like, you know, I'll never forget the night that I met you and Steph. And actually, so for you listeners who don't know, Mike and Steph have been regularly attending our Equity Builders Club events for quite some time. We actually call them some of the OGs now. And it's actually like a conversation with Steph that like really marked me, because, you know, you guys came in and she actually introduced herself and probably you as well. And, you know, the first thing I remember her doing was like looking at her shoes and being like, yeah, like we're not really investors. We like just have a condo. And like almost, you know, being like, wow, I mean, wow, you guys have a condo, you know? And I think at the time you must be in like your early 20s. And like, there's a lot of people who, you know, don't get to that stage until a whole lot later. But so then I had the pleasure of watching you guys like take the plunge, but I want to ask you like on your end of things, like what did that look like between, you know, coming out of your shells and showing up at a networking event for the first time? Like, first of all, I want to hear about that, because like, you know, I remember you both being kind of a little bit shy and timid at that first event. So like, what did that feel like for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And that first event was actually a surfing event. So it was you know, in terms of a networking event, that's like as big as it gets. Like that's, it was such a highlight for us. And, you know, just to give you a bit of context, I don't know if you knew this or not, but before attending our first networking event, we were super invested in all kinds of education, whether it be online videos, books about real estate, talking to friends and family who have already done this. And so we've already put in like a little bit of time at this point in our education. But we felt that like as much education as you can do for yourself, I find it's very general and it's not very case specific. So when it came to going and looking for properties or investigating or interviewing brokers, I felt like we really didn't have the knowledge to like move forward or to know what questions to ask or what to look for. So I think that's what prompted us to attend the first networking event. And at this point, we had been listening to your podcasts and Stephanie was kind of idolizing you. And she was like, oh, listen to Terry's podcast. She has such a great opinion on this and that. And I think the thing we loved about your podcast is that it was Quebec specific. So of all the education and all the knowledge we tried to soak up on these programs and in these books, nothing was very, very specific towards what we wanted to do, which was invest in Montreal. So attending that first networking event, we had met you and we're like, oh my God, this is the woman we've been listening to on these podcasts. Like this is crazy. But you were so welcoming and you brought us into this community and, you know, attending that first networking event was nerve-wracking, right? Because there's all these people who you think, oh my God, they're so much more advanced than we are. Like they're not going to want to talk to us. We're like nobody at this point. And that was completely the opposite of what we experienced. You know, like everybody who attended the networking event was super helpful. Some were way ahead of us. Some were just one step in front of us. So just, you know, having a community of people around us that we can take the knowledge we had initially learned and then actually apply it to specifics in our area, in our investment strategy was super, super helpful. So attending that first networking event was a little bit nerve-wracking, but after that, it was such a positive experience and we kept coming back to every single one after that.
Mm-hmm. And so now I want to hear about like, you know, the journey, right? Because yeah. Like you guys have, so how long have you been investing for? Like, you know, for me, time flies and I won't have the same like relativity of it as you will, but like, so what has it been like 3 years? Was that 3 years ago that you attended that event or has it been longer?
I think it's been 3 years since we attended the event, but we purchased the condo in 2020. So look, call it 5 years in total, but more seriously about 3 years.
Well, because the condo really like you guys were living in it, right? So, so like if you're telling me like when, you know, cause it's been amazing and like, you know, you're making, I don't want to say making light of it, but like, you know, at this point you own, how many doors do you own?
We're at 12 doors now.
Yeah. So super. Yeah. So like, just to give you guys who are listening to this some metrics. So like, you know, in our market in Montreal, like the mom and pop phase really goes up to, I would say probably six, seven doors. And then after that, definitely when you pass 10, you're in professional landlord territory.
Hey, real estate fans, I have exciting news to share with you. Our monthly in-person networking events are back. If you're in the Montreal area, and even if you're not, go ahead and grab a ticket for our next event at equitybuildersclub.com/events. I would love to see you out. The second exciting thing is that we still have a few more coaching spots available in our next cohort. If you would like to have a little bit more help closing on that next property, please go ahead and fill out the contact form on equitybuildersclub.com and we would be happy to jump on a call and explain to you a little bit more about what we do.
Now, a top 10% landlord, so that means the top 10% of people who own property in the city own just 23 doors. So you're like more than halfway there and you've done that in like 2 years or 3 years. And so like that's really fast. And so like what, you know, allowed you to do that at that speed?
Yeah, no, it's, now that I think about it, it's crazy to think that just, you know, 3 years ago, we basically started from zero. You know, in that time we purchased our first fiveplex And then we managed to buy our personal home, which we live in now. And then another sixplex that we closed on about a month ago. So, you know, that journey, now that I talk about it, it feels like I can't even picture what I was feeling those 3 years ago. But starting off at zero is tough, especially when you don't have any of the experience or any of the specific knowledge about investing in general. I find it's hard to get started in this investing world because, you know, you're risking a significant amount of money on these properties, and to do that without the experience or the knowledge is a little bit nerve-wracking. So like having people around you who've done that before was super impactful for us. As much knowledge and as much information as we could possibly consume initially, the thing that made the biggest impact for us was just having people in our corner that we can ask questions to, that, you know, we can say, hey, like, look at these numbers. Does this make sense to you? And just having that feedback and having that soundboard to bounce ideas off of was incredible. And so just to come back to where we are now and say, you know, we have 12 doors. Was it an easy journey? Absolutely not. We spent a lot of, you know, evenings and weekends and basically our whole summer on our first building, which was a huge project. For the listeners out there, Terry kind of maybe persuaded us to jump into a project that was a little bit more difficult for a first property, but that was incredibly rewarding because we learned so many things about zoning laws, about renovating units, about rent optimization, just because we took on a project that needed a little bit more love. And, you know, that was a huge learning experience, but I don't think that I would have had the confidence to do that by myself if I wasn't surrounded by people who I could ask questions to and who could guide me and make sure I'm doing the right thing and going in the right direction.
Tell me, I want to know about that process, right? Because like what I want to do is like, I want for people who are listening to this to be able to like go back to their lives and be like, okay, so, you know, I can see that Mike has had a lot of success in a short period of time. And like, I will also mention, you know, like we have a lot of off camera conversations and I know that like some of the pet peeves that like, you know, both of us have, we don't have extravagant lifestyles. And I also don't think we're necessarily of the school of being like super aggressive and getting to like 100 doors in 1 year, you know? Yeah. And so like, there's like a conservative rate of growth and there's a overheated, you know, rate of growth. And it doesn't mean that like you can't be that kind of investor. It's totally fine. But it's just like what you're doing is you're trading like that risk factor. And so like, I would say, you know, you're about as good of an example of someone who has built their portfolio in a way that's like just on the edge, right? Like had you done double, had you done 20 doors in 2 years, like probably things would have been like a bit more out of control than they were. So you were able to like control the rate of growth. So I think that's like just one thing I kind of want to, you know, flag about your trajectory. Yep. But, you know, I want to ask like, how did you go about vetting the advice that you have? You know, I always like to talk about Uncle Bob. Okay. Mm-hmm. And like, for sure, finding a community of other investors who communities have group knowledge. And I always like to talk about this when, you know, why is it so important for us as investors to be part of a community? Part of it is getting that advice from people who are a bit further ahead. But part of it is also that like this community is like a hive mind. Like it contains this information about who you should work with, who's maybe not the best actor. And so like you can, you know, vet some of your consiglieres through that community lens. And, you know, I know we've talked about this a bit off camera, but like, you know, in the beginning, when you know less, the trusted advisors that you have around you really have your ear. And we all know that out there, there's a whole host of maybe brokers who are not super investment minded. Doesn't mean they're not competent brokers, but they might not be the best person to help you make strategic decisions when you start out investing. So like, I want to hear from you who went through that not so long ago. What was that process like? Because you had to go through and like build your power team and decide who to listen to, because there's all sorts of voices out there. And if that community and those voices are so crucial, like what did you really do to select the ones you ended up listening to?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's a very loaded question. I'll start with the first part, which was like, how did we control our growth rate and like, what did we want out of this thing? My wife and I, Stephanie, our whole theme is being intentional. What do we want out of this thing? What kind of lives do we want to live? Do I want to be growing at an extremely quick rate and put everything on the table for a huge return? That's not me. I'm a conservative person that wants to see results, but I also want to do it at a rate that makes me comfortable. You know, like I mentioned before, I have a full-time job. You know, Stephanie and I, we have tons of things that we like to do. We want to do things around the house. We have activities. We want to travel. So I don't want to throw my entire life into this thing. Now, if you want to do that, that's perfectly okay. There's people who are gung-ho, who are going to spend all of their time from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. just going hard at their business. And that's perfectly okay. But that's just not me. So to answer your question, how did we control this growth rate? I think it comes back to just adjusting my lifestyle and what I want to achieve. So we knew that we didn't want to scale to 100 doors in 5 years. Our goal was to buy 5 buildings within 5 years and then be able to refinance every year afterwards. So it was 1 building a year until we reached 5. How many doors is that going to be? I'm not sure yet, but our goal was 5 buildings. And why did we choose the 5 buildings? It's because we want a life that we can enjoy the things that we have around us, that we can enjoy our time, our traveling, our interests, our hobbies, and our family. And the way that we do that is relatively easy to define in terms of monetary value. And so if I say, for example, I need $10,000 a month net to live this lifestyle, then that's what I'm going to aim for in terms of a financial portfolio. So for us, 5 buildings within the 5 years, that seemed like a realistic goal for us. And going back to our conservative, modest lifestyle.
I want to just pause here and like really like underline something, you know, and I feel like what you said, which I really want our listeners to like grab onto, is that it's setting this endpoint and setting that metric. Because like being FI, like being financially free, is not the same for everyone. It really is going to depend on what kind of lifestyle you want to have. And by knowing what your endpoint is, it allows you to work backwards and then be like, okay, well, at what rate do I have to grow in order to be able to do that? And like, you know, this is where I feel like a lot of what's out there, you know, on social media, as far as real estate investing goes, like, you don't have to be on a private jet to have succeeded with your real estate investing project. Like, you know, I always love to say, oh, it's for me, it's about puppies and chickens, right? But like, whatever your thing is, like you can assign a number to it, and actually you have to sit down and, like you say, be intentional and do that exercise of working backwards. And I want to just like kind of bookmark that, because I think that that's super important. And I think that's where like a lot of people get off track. Like either they move too slow or they move too fast because they haven't done that step of really defining like, what's my end point? Like, how will I know when enough is enough?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a huge point, is just being able to quantify and qualify exactly what you want out of this whole thing. You know, the reason why we're investing in real estate is to eventually get to an end goal and enjoy the journey throughout. But if you don't have an end goal in mind, then, you know, it's easy to just get off track and then either go too hard and burn out, or not go hard enough and just never get to that point. So absolutely. And to come back to like our lifestyle and our goals, Stephanie and I live a very modest lifestyle. And, you know, people around us, you know, maybe buy fancier cars or live in nicer homes, or, you know, go on vacation or spend money on clubbing or whatever they want to do. We're not that. You know, we're fortunate enough to have, you know, great jobs and great careers, and we save, you know, over half of our income towards this goal, which is real estate investing. So, you know, all of this to say is it's not easy, and there were tons of sacrifices that are made. And I think the important thing to consider in this whole investment business is that, you know, it's not easy, it's not clear cut. there are things that you have to sacrifice and there are things that decisions you have to make in order to get to where you want to get. But if you are able to make those sacrifices and those changes, you'll definitely get to where you want to get. And that's how we achieved our goals, or on our way to achieve our goals, is by just making sure that we're being intentional and we're prioritizing the things that we want to do, so that eventually we can say, you know what, if I don't want to work, I don't have to work. Or if I want to go on vacation for 2 months, I can do it. So it's just making these early sacrifices in order to move forward. That's kind of how we achieved, or how we are achieving our goals. And then to address your second point, Terry, about, you know, people in our circle who, obviously when we have not a lot of experience and not a lot of knowledge, it's hard to know who is giving the right opinion, especially when you're hearing a lot of stuff online about people who, you know, in 1 year they own 100 doors, they are living in mansions in Beverly Hills, and they fly private to wherever. Like, people talk about that a lot, but is that the reality of real estate investing? That hasn't been my experience, and that's okay. Like, I'm glad that it's not been that experience, because there's so much stuff in this whole business that's so rewarding. But choosing the right people to work with is difficult at the beginning, because you just don't know, who to pick or what to say. And to give it a little bit of a personal experience, when we'd initially started looking for for our first investment property, we were interviewing a few brokers, and we ended up landing on someone who claimed to be, or who was advertised to be, an investment specific broker. And we sat down with him, we went over a few properties, and, you know, one of the lines that he was saying is, look, we're gonna sit down and I'm gonna educate you on, you know, what we're gonna do today. And after an hour and a half, 2 hours, we had left the meeting, number one, completely exhausted, mentally drained, because all of the information that we were receiving was completely general and not specific to what we wanted to do. And in addition to that, the properties that we were looking at, you know, what was a good deal was basically what felt right. And you quickly learn in this business that it's a numbers game. And if the numbers make sense, great, jump on the investment. If the numbers don't make sense, don't be emotional about the decision. You're not purchasing your forever home. You know, if you go into it making an emotional decision, oftentimes that ends up sort of biting you in the butt. But, you know, having dealt with someone who based all of their decisions on whether it was a good investment on emotions and on personal gut choice, that immediately gave us sort of a red flag and said, okay, maybe we have to take a second and think about what we're doing here, use the knowledge that we gained, talk to people around us, and just really figure out if the people who we're working with are the right people. So we ended up backing out of that relationship, and we sort of went on on a hunt for someone who is where we want to be and who lives the lifestyle that we want to live. So not super extravagant, but also relatively ambitious. So that's how we landed on, you know, Equity Builders, and seeing what you did with your portfolio and with your lifestyle. We definitely want to live a similar sort of lifestyle to what you've achieved. And so I think the best way to choose the right people in your circle is to look for someone who's done what you want to do. And in order to do that, it's very important to have a clear picture of what it is you want to do or what it is you want to achieve. And it makes it that much easier to go and find someone who has done that. And I think that's what we did.
Mm-hmm. I really love that advice, Mike. And I think, you know, one of the issues that there is with like the bad advice that's swimming around there, especially for people who are starting out, is everyone has an uncle or a brother-in-law or a something, a neighbor who's a real estate broker or a mortgage broker. And of course, those people are paid on commission, so they're never going to say no to business. And a lot of times, like, they don't know what they don't know. And so they like think, oh, you know, I've sold a triplex once or twice, and so I'm qualified to give investment advice. But I think like the golden nugget in what you said was really about vetting the person vis-a-vis where they are in life. you know? And I think like real estate brokers, Lord knows, they love to project success, right? And so like the guy who shows up driving the Porsche, super nicely dressed, obviously is a very successful real estate broker, probably does a ton of deals and like makes a lot of money doing deals. So like not taking anything away from their business acumen, but if your goal is to be an investor, surely you would want to be guided by other people who have investment knowledge as well. And so like in terms of, you know, speaking to the fact that you say like pick somebody to learn from who is actually where you want to be, to the extent that at the beginning your professionals are going to be sort of educating you, make sure that you're vetting them not on like the size of their car or like how many, you know, banners outside have their name on them, but rather like what does their portfolio look like? How often have they been to the TAL? Like, you know, can they produce a financial statement for you? Because like all of those things are metrics of really assessing how good of an investor someone is. And like somebody who invests successfully, if they do have a broker's license, is going to be able to vet whatever deal through that lens. And, you know, you mentioned the financials. Financials are super important, but there's also just the big picture of what makes investing sense, whether it's the tenants or the foundation or like all of those 100 things that like an investing broker has seen those. And to put a metric on it, only 2% of real estate brokers actually really specialize in servicing investors, 2%. So that means that out of 100 brokers, you're going to talk to 98 of them who are going to have once sold a triplex and think that they're an expert. But like you need to look for that 2% of people who really effectively serves investors. And so I just wanted to, again, kind of highlight that. Mike, we are kind of running out of time for this segment of our podcast, but I do just want to like kind of come back and ask you like, what's next for you? I mean, you mentioned that you're looking to get to those 5 buildings. So I'm assuming that it's, you know, going to be building number 3, but tell me what's next.
So the thing that we just kind of made the decision to move to the next step was really freeing up our time and delegating. You know, at the beginning of this whole journey, we started from zero and we ended up now with 12 doors. And at this point, we just made the decision to delegate to a property manager. And for us, that was a huge decision. There was a lot of things to consider, but now we finally made the decision to shift our responsibilities to a property manager. And that's going to free up more time for us to investigate more deals, see what's out there in the market. So I think, again, part of our long-term plan is really the one building every year for 5 years. We made the second acquisition in the second year, so logically the next purchase will be next year. So I think in the meantime, we're just really going to optimize the properties that we have now. If something comes up and it's interesting enough, maybe we'll consider it. But I think for the next 6 months till the end of this year, the goal is really to optimize and then jump on our next property hopefully next year.
Super. I love it. Overachievers. You had a, you know, a goal to do building 2 this year and you got it done in 6 months. I love that. Mike, I want to thank you so much for joining me on this episode and taking the time to kind of share the experience of 0 to 12 with our audience. We're going to have you on again really soon to talk about another exciting thing that's coming up for you. So thanks for chatting with me.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me, Terry.
Thank you for listening to the Real Escape Investing Podcast. I'm your host, Terry Schauer. If you find that this show has been useful to you, if you've enjoyed the content, if it's done anything to move the needle for you, please go ahead and share it with one person who you think could profit from listening to it. Until next time, real estate fans.